We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the PHNX Suns podcast, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a five-star review. I'm Lindsay Smith, here with Saul Bookman, Espo, and Gerald Bourget. Are you guys tired yet? Is it like the Fridayest Friday of that can be?
This is the Mondayest Friday of all the
that's
Fridays.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to put it, for sure. I wish we had two more shows on Saturday and Sunday, to be honest with you.
We still can.
You can.
We'll fire it up.
We'll go live from Maya Day Club.
Oh my God.
Can we just start calling this the PHNX KD podcast?
I feel like we're on KD watch.
So.
Why not? All right. Well, let's talk a little bit of Suns basketball on this Friday afternoon, and then we'll have a little bit of fun as well.
Thank God.
First and foremost, obviously, we all know the 2022 NBA draft went down last night and the Suns made zero moves. But they did allow James Jones to talk to the media, and our very own Gerald Bourget was amongst that conversation. So let's talk about what he talked about last night.
Yeah, he mentioned, because I know a lot of people were bummed that it was so uneventful, and we were kind of expecting it to be low key. I don't think we were expecting nothing to happen, although I'll take that back. I don't want to slander my boy Louis King, who is now on the Suns Summer League team.
Is it Louis King or is it Louis King?
I don't even know. I might have slandered him.
Louis King the first.
We got an MVP, baby. Louis King.
The Summer League championship game MVP. Oh, okay. A one game MVP.
It was the biggest game, all right?
It was the biggest game. But no, James Jones mentioned that there were a number of targets that they had on their board. They did have conversations about making a move into the draft. But the deals that they were pursuing fell through. He said that's kind of typical of an NBA draft because you've got 30 teams that are all trying to get better, all having conversations amongst each other. And he said that even though nothing got done, it does kind of give you the lay of the land heading into free agency as far as what teams are trying to accomplish, what they're willing to give up, that sort of thing. So as much as no deal was done, they still have a better idea of what they're working with. And I think, you know, we'll get into all the details of that about how it affects DeAndre Ayton and whatnot. But he did affirm that DA is a part of what they do. Again, he said nothing's changed from when I said this exact same thing a month ago during exit interviews. They value what he brings to both ends of the floor, and he's a big part of what they do.
You know, one thing that I really want to caution us all to do is just not overreact to the draft.
Right.
Like, it's really not that big of a deal.
But what if I want to?
Well, you can feel free if you want to. But like Rick James right now, 2345, said, I'm glad the Suns sat back and watched every other West contender get somewhat better. I'm like, somewhat's a subjective term. Like, the Clippers didn't even make a move last night. I would argue that the Clippers are going to get better inherently just because Kawhi's coming back and that they're a potential landing spot for Kyrie Irving. Like, that's the thing. Those moves are the ones that are going to move the needle and create a contender. A second round draft pick probably isn't going to move the needle and push you over the edge to win a title. So in this regard and where the Suns are currently positioned, I agree with James Jones, lack of wanting to prioritize the draft and instead veer towards free agency, because I feel like that's the way you can get instant results from what you're trying to spend. And I think at a time right now where you have Chris Paul on the clock, you got to maximize this next year. Otherwise, that championship window might close.
I'd argue it might already be closed.
Just based on
the West getting healthier and improving. But less interesting, the draft for the Suns or James Jones's press conference? It felt like it was a whole lot of nothing from what I listened to, what I read.
I'd say the draft was way less interesting because he did talk about DA. He did answer questions about the COVID situation and reports.
What did he say about that?
He admittedly kind of ducked the question. He said, they beat us. We lost. Like, we're not going to make excuses. We weren't at our best that day. Pretty much the most roundabout way of confirming it, honestly, without coming off as like, this is why we lost, making excuses type thing. Kind of similar tack that Chris Paul took at the charity event the other night.
They both were saying, we're not self-incriminating. We're not admitting we played with COVID. That's right. What they both were doing.
Right? Oh, yeah. We're not going to look in the past.
We're not going to admit to anything that we did.
Chris Paul was like, I'm here today.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here today. I'm good now.
I'm here.
Bro, that's not what we're asking you.
What else can you ask?
Chris Paul is the very definition. If you don't learn from the past, you're doomed to repeat it.
Yep. He's been in this game
COVID
a while.
COVID and back-to-back playoff years. Good job, CP3.
Do we believe the James Jones line about DeAndre Ayton, though? Or is this... I mean, it's what he has to say, right?
Right.
It's not like he could come out and say, nah, DA ain't part of our plans. Somebody signed him to an offer sheet so we can negotiate a sign-in trade. Like, of course he's going to say
I believe
that.
Him because he did also mention the fact that, listen, he's going to be a free agent, and he understands that teams are going to, you know, propose an offer, and I feel like they're ready for it. Like, it just... Maybe that's just me being an idiot, but that's just how I feel. Like, listen, you got to play this game right now, and you're not going to burn a bridge with DA. James Jones, I feel like at the end of the day, could always say, DA, I've always had your back. Like, I want you to get paid. I try to make that happen, whatever. Like, however he wants to spin it, right? Like,
I always had your back, except for that time last summer when I didn't give you a contract and I gave Landry Shamet $44 million. But, you know,
independent.
No, but let's. But I mean, the reality is,
but weren't we won't there pay rumors you. Around that time where it was very like almost petty?
You
it
don't
was,
take this. I'm going to go give Landry his contract.
Weren't there
extension.
Rumors of that? Or is
no,
that just rumors?
There were no, that's people theorizing. It has no merit whatsoever. And okay. People need to understand there's a difference between a freaking max contract and the money that they gave Landry, which is like $9-10 million a year. It's very different. I think if he's wanting to spin it any type of way, just be like, hey, man, the guy above me wouldn't let me last summer. But now that we're in this position where we have to iron a deal out, like, let's get it done. You're a restricted free agent. We're going to pay you. We're not going to give you the full 5-year max that you wanted last year, but we're going to give you as much on a 4-year as we can, or we're going to match as much as someone else can give you on a 4-year.
I like this idea. He's like, I'm going to blame the man upstairs. I'm going to say, and he might not be here much longer. So here's a 4-year max. Exactly. I mean, just put it on him.
It's not bad. It's not a bad way to go.
It's not a bad strategy. Yeah.
Except for he's publicly said that he's been given full control.
Right.
So
yeah, but you go wink, wink. You guys know. You saw that guy walking around here. Right. I didn't have full control. I say it, but I didn't know that.
It's true. But also, like, it kind of falls in line with what Atlanta, kind of the rumor for Atlanta today.
Which we'll get into.
Okay.
Well, that's coming
up.
That's coming up.
But just as a base level, it is... Those comments could just be posturing, but they could also stem from looking around the league. The number of potential suitors is not, you know, it's not lining up like it might have been a couple weeks ago. So
there are two paths here that I will accept as, all right, this offseason, otherwise I'm going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. You re-sign DA and you make changes elsewhere in the roster, or DA is part of a KD trade. Anything outside of those two options, you're taking a step backwards at this point. And I don't think anybody should be overly happy about that, because as Saul said, that window is closing. And if you move off of DA and you're not getting KD or somebody of that ilk, you might as well just say, hey, we're looking at
turn out the
five or six in the West.
The party's over.
And you'll be lucky if we get a second round exit next year.
I mean, listen, I like to give a little grief to James Jones just because why not? Playing devil's advocate here sometimes. Mm-hmm. But even though they didn't make any moves last night in the draft, if you talk to all 30 teams, and I know you're technically not allowed to talk about sign and trade type stuff, they definitely had those conversations. So at least you get, from his perspective, he's probably getting a little more intel on who genuinely is willing to come to the table and maybe sharing, hey, like, just a heads up, like, we really like this guy. Think he could be good in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So things like that probably went on behind the scenes as well. But did he say anything else that stood out that's notable to you?
Not really. I mean, it was. He talked to us for about 15 minutes.
It was pretty bleh.
Yeah.
What do you want? Hey, we're having a press conference after we did absolutely nothing, and nothing has changed since the last time you talked to me right when the season ended. I mean, the highlight. I don't blame the guy.
The highlight of the presser was Mark McClune trying to voice his questions. And wherever the muffled city he
was, he was like, it sounded like he was in witness protection, let's be honest.
Yeah, you're not going to get a ton when a team makes zero moves in the draft and all the questions are, you know, did your team have COVID in the playoffs, that type of thing. But it did give me a little bit more understanding. He did address the ESPN article a little bit, which I thought was interesting because he was asked about that. And he said every player that's in the draft goes through our evaluation process. It's just they narrow it down to like 10 guys they consider high level fits, guys that could come into the Suns culture and fit in right away. So he did kind of clarify that. So they do put guys through the draft. They still have a very scarce, like, personnel scouting department, but they do put guys through that process.
We talked about that last night, that, like, I think in reality, most teams have 10 guys that they'd really want in a draft, and they just rank everybody. And Jones said, look, we have 50-plus guys that we kind of look at and feel where they'd fit, but we hone in on those 8 to 10. Like, that makes sense. That, and it's a clarification that was necessary from what the article sounded like. So,
all right, well, let's talk a little bit more about tonight, go into some of the specifics and maybe how it affects a potential DA sign and trade and sort of all that kind of stuff. So do you guys want to start with Detroit? Because I know Detroit has been linked to the Suns quite a bit. So we have a quote here that says, while all signs have pointed to Detroit making a serious run at DA over the last few days, that appears less likely after the Pistons walked away with two of the players highest on their organization's big board. Per sources, Detroit is eager to continue to build back toward playoff contention with the aforementioned young core, and the Pistons are expected to use the majority of their remaining cap space to add multiple veteran pieces rather than just one big swing this offseason.
I think what Detroit did last night in the draft was very, very good.
So they got Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren.
Yeah, and I think both of those pieces, and then throwing in a couple veterans that might be able to help. And I know they're in the running for, I think, Miles Bridges is one of the guys that they're going after. I'm not sure about Jalen Brunson, but you know they can add some core pieces, and all of a sudden you don't need DA. And I think they basically are out of the DA sweepstakes, at least from my opinion. From my perspective last night, I said so when those picks were made.
Yeah, this is that report was from James Edward III in The Athletic, which he's pretty on the pulse of what's going on with the Pistons. And let's be honest, I don't think Detroit ever imagined a situation where they wind up with both of these guys. And thanks to the Knicks not being able to get their heads out of their own asses, they wound up with Duren. And that does make it not necessary to wind up with DA. I still think they could be a third team to help facilitate something with their cap space and those things where certain pieces wind up with them to make a salary cap issue work. But I don't think their main focus is DeAndre Ayton anymore, which what gets interesting here is the pool of people that can actually offer him an offer sheet at that money he's looking at has dwindled, so he's losing leverage where if Bill Duffy, his agency was saying, hey, you know, he's interested in Detroit because they have the money. Well, now that option may not be on the table. How do they play this? And do the Suns come out looking like geniuses because they don't wind up having to pay him the max?
That's kind of where I'm at. I won't rule the Pistons out entirely because I do think you look at DeAndre Ayton, that's a proven mobile big who can play both ends of the court for you really well. He would be nice with Cade and Jaden for the long term. They got Jalen Duren, obviously, who is a guy who you want to become that, but that's never necessarily a sure thing in the draft, especially where he was picked in the draft. So I won't rule them out entirely because they still have a ton of cap space. But yeah, it doesn't look great as far as the suitors that DA's people were probably hoping would line up with max offer sheets. And if there isn't one coming, the Suns have even more leverage than they already did. Yep. And they do look, you know, maybe not smart in terms of the way we saw things blow up in the playoffs, but vindicated as far as their specific decision not to pay a 5-year max last year.
A million percent. Listen, like this is a business. And I said that last night. This is a business. This isn't like, oh, well, you feel like you should get paid, so we should pay you. Like, if the marketplace is telling you, like, this is what you're going to get. Listen, Kyler Murray did the same thing. They took a gamble, and they put their stuff out there and basically said that they were unhappy. And it paid off big time, because what had happened was is Deshaun Watson got a fully guaranteed contract. I think somebody else also got like 47 per. So all of a sudden the market's dictating that Kyler Murray, who was once thought to maybe get 38 to 42 million a year, is now up to 45 to 50 million a year. So he played the game right. DA is playing the game, and it might backfire the opposite way, because the suitors are becoming less and less. The money's drying. It's not drying up yet because we haven't even hit free agency yet. But, even Atlanta today, and like I know we're going to get into it, like they're starting to dictate the market for DA, and it's going the opposite way. Mm-hmm. So the Suns might actually end up saving money in the long run if DA settles for less than the max with another team, because the Suns would be fools not to match that.
Right. Which is a good business decision, like you're saying. I am curious how much it impacted what happened this year in terms of just the basketball side of it and the locker room aspect, DA's mentality. And not to say that, like, you know, it affected him all year, because he still had the best season of his career this year. But I am curious if that affected it at all, and how that affects them moving forward, if they're able to mend these bridges like we've been talking about. But
we're not comparing NFL quarterbacks to NBA centers.
I was literally writing a comment. Imagine thinking an example is the same thing as a comparison.
You know what I mean? Like we're talking about business decisions between two entities within their specific organizations and how they're approaching it. We're not literally saying Kyler Murray is just like DeAndre Ayton.
Right.
It's like there's like a whole foot difference there.
It's just the point that sometimes,
as an example of the business side sports.
Sometimes you play the game and it works out in your favor, and sometimes something like what happened with Detroit last night happens and it totally backfires on you.
What I wonder though is if they wind up with him coming back on a lesser contract, how he approaches it. Does he come in and use that as fuel, or does that wound him and make him feel less? I don't know. There's, because he, of all the people, seems like perception gets to him a lot. You know?
I think actually this scenario might actually play in the Suns' favor, because if, let's just say, a team goes out there and offers him 25 a year, right? And the Suns match it at 4 years. Well, now it's a 4-year, $100 million deal. Like, okay, cool. You just saved all that money. But also, the rest of the NBA is telling you, you ain't worth what you think you're worth. So I think that actually motivates DA to say, you know what, you guys all have it wrong, and maybe try to work for that supermax down the road or whatever.
Because you can't hang your hat on, well, it's just this team. It's just this front office. It's like, okay, now I got to look internally and see, okay, what am I doing or what am I not doing that is making people believe that I deserve more money or don't deserve more money.
I would hope he would take it that way. I will say he has mentioned last year when talking about the contract situation, wanting to get something worked out. He was saying, I want to be paid like my peers. I want to be regarded like my peers. He was talking about Trae Young, Luka, even Shea, who had gotten those 5-year extensions that he wanted. So it'll be interesting to how he would take that kind of blow to not his reputation, but just the way he's perceived around the league.
His ego.
Because he wants to be in that group and he feels he belongs in that group.
But if we believe reports, he could have had the 4-year max last summer. It's on him in some ways that he doesn't have a max contract, because he decided to bet on himself and it backfired. So, you know, I think the Atlanta things that we'll get into here.
Well, let's talk about it.
I do have one last thing to say about the Pistons, because we mentioned it on the show last night, but if you weren't there for that, sign and trade options really dried up with the news that they're letting Kemba go, because his contract could have maybe got you to the range where you could do a sign and trade, but that might be out now too with them cutting him. So if it's Detroit, it's probably just going to be they're going to try and max offer sheet right out and hope that the Suns don't match.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Atlanta. So last night, There were no trades involving John Collins or any other big names. They drafted AJ Griffin. And then Chris Kirschner from The Athletic said the Hawks could still pursue Phoenix Suns center DeAndre Ayton in free agency. Sources tell The Athletic that the Hawks' interest in the 23-year-old would be contingent on landing him for less than a max contract. That may not be an option, as the Pistons, who we just talked about, who have the cap space for a max contract, are expected to be aggressive in their pursuit of Ayton in free agency. So a little bit of conflicting reports here, but again, we're all speculating. Great.
Yeah, congratulations, Atlanta. I'd love a very nice, like, 2,000-square-foot house in Phoenix with a 2.99 interest rate at $200,000 for the cost. That shit ain't happening, though.
2.99 is high.
Not right now.
Oh,
right
no,
now.
I know.
I mean right now.
I know. I got mine out of steel, so I'm happy about that. Again, the market. You know, like if Atlanta is sitting there, but like, well, listen, we want them, but we want them at a lower cost. That's another team that might be out of the fold.
It's like, yeah, so, same, bro.
Yeah, I mean, so now we went from Indiana, Spurs, Atlanta, Detroit to now possibly just two of those four that are still maybe in the mix. Like, there's just a lot of things to be played out until July 1st, but it's interesting what's going on.
The Hawks only make sense as a sign and trade partner because of all the contracts they have on their books. They'd have to make a bevy of moves to free up space just to sign him outright. So. But it is interesting that if they were signing and trading for him, it would be on a less than max contract, at which point, if you're the Suns, hell yeah, like we'll take him at less than the max. Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks for doing us a huge favor.
Can we clarify something? A sign and trade can't happen if the player signed their offer sheet, right?
He can sign his 1-year offer sheet, which would be for like $16 million and change. He would play out this upcoming season on that contract, and then he'd be an unrestricted free agent.
I mean, he can't say the Hawks want him. They offer him a deal. He can't sign that offer sheet and have a sign and trade still executed, right?
If he's doing a sign and trade with another team, it's for a 3 or 4 year deal minimum. You can't do a 1 year or two.
But he can't sign their offer sheet. They have to agree.
Oh yeah. So if he signs an offer sheet, it's an offer sheet, not a sign and trade. Yeah. Like, you have to agree to a sign and trade, but an offer sheet's a different thing. That's basically just, we're signing DA to this contract. You can either match this contract and keep him, or he becomes ours on that.
So if we hear DeAndre Ayton has signed an offer sheet with fill in the blank, sign and trade's off the table. It's then match or let him walk, right?
If he's officially signed it, yeah.
Okay. Just to clarify, I know.
So next week we might hear A, that he signed an offer sheet with another team, or B, the Suns are working a trade with said team to send center DeAndre. Like, we would hear one of those two things. We wouldn't hear signed an offer sheet and then the Suns are working a signing trade.
Yeah, we might hear he's planning or he wants to sign an offer sheet, at which point the Suns might have to be like, okay, here's what we're going to have to negotiate a sign and trade. But yeah, if he signs the offer sheet, that's done. Like, you, no more sign and trade. Suns have the time to match.
Interesting.
So
many pieces the puzzle.
It's going to get so spicy. A week from today, that's when this all tips off. I mean, I think it's noon here is when free agency starts. We start hearing things leaking, you know, Wednesday, Thursday about plans, but this is all going to get really interesting really quick next
week. All right, so we have two more teams to talk about.
Damn it.
But before we start talking about that, Han in the chat says Ayton 1 year, $16 million to become unrestricted would be so baller. Mad respect if he does.
The team would have to offer that, right?
No.
He can do that.
Any thought that would be something he would do?
I think it would be insanity because it would be, he didn't learn the lesson from what he did this last year. He left money on the table and lost money. So then he's doubling down on that with the chance that he doesn't prove himself enough to get anything more.
It's so scary too, because injury or whatever, like, that's just... That's such a gamble.
That would be like historically unprecedented for a guy drafted number one overall to take that.
But also, the Suns could trade him, right? If he signed that unrestricted.
He has veto power.
He has veto power for the following year. Yeah. So they wouldn't be able to trade him. That would be the ultimate, I don't want to be here after this year. I'm fucking gone. I don't want to be here. I'm taking a chance. That, which is a huge risk on yourself because you're getting paid half of what you could be making on a max deal with any team. And then, like, if you get hurt, if you have a bad year, whatever might happen, if you get perceived as a locker room problem or something like that for taking that deal,
if the Suns get spiteful and just bench you, like, there's so many things that you could go so sideways.
Honestly, that wouldn't, I wouldn't even put that past what would happen during the year. I really wouldn't.
I'm saying there's like a 1% chance just because of the financial risk. I don't think his agent would even let him do that.
If those odds were on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, what do you think they would be?
Plus 5,000.
Yeah.
if not more.
Yeah, yeah, maybe, I mean, plus 10,000. Yeah,
yeah. There's just there's no way he does that.
Would you guys put any money on that if it was offered?
I mean, I'd probably put like $10 down.
Josh Hunt did make a good point. Don't get that Dennis Schroeder syndrome.
Yeah,
I mean, that's exactly what he did, mm-hmm. and it did not work out.
Yeah, you cannot turn down that's generational a
cautionary
money.
Tale.
Yeah, no, I just don't see it. I don't see any way that plays out.
Is there anything in your life you'd gamble on, like that? That you are that confident in yourself that you're like, F, I'm gonna do it because I already know I got this taken care of.
Well, allegedly, Adam Mares over in DMVR thinks that he can beat anybody in a straight up shutout in basketball. Mm. And I'm here to say I am 1,000,000% confident that would not happen against me.
I would put up whatever I can make in my life that my daughter is gonna be successful at something. Like, if somebody was like, you can take $1 million now, or you can sit there and do whatever and, but you know your daughter's going to be successful. I put my money on that.
Espo always tries to go at the heartstrings.
I know.
He's always trying to.
It's cute, though.
I don't believe in myself, but I believe in her.
I know. It's the craziest thing.
That's the thing here. I ain't taking that bet on myself for anything, but my daughter's
betting on
sure.
me? No chance. No. Betting on her every
exactly.
day. Any, what about you, Gerald? Anything? I have nothing. There's nothing. I don't think I would do that.
Really?
If you're giving me a guaranteed contract or I get to F around and find out, I'm gonna take the guaranteed contract.
Oh, yeah, give me the
okay.
bag.
Good to know. Good to know when we renegotiate your deal, there, Lindsay.
How do you think we got Lindsay? It was like, here's a guaranteed contract. I'm in.
I'm like, 2023 can't come fast enough.
That's what you think now. I might change by then.
I'm like, you can have this now or this later.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. Well, if you guys want to get in on the action, DA's next landing spot odds are available on DraftKings Sportsbook. So you can download that app right now and use promo code PHNX when you sign up, because new customers can bet $5 on either NHL team to win their game and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's promo code PHNX at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Stanley Cup Finals. Must be 21 or older, Arizona only. New customers only, minimum $5 minimum deposit. Restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, let's talk about the Spurs. Mm-hmm. So the Spurs last night, there were zero trades. They drafted Jeremy Sochan, Malachi Branham, and Blake Wesley, and Kennedy Chandler. And mm-hmm. when a couple of these players were drafted, we had some people who are sometimes correct on Suns Twitter, people with some sources.
Somebody from Jersey, Flex from Jersey, drop some breadcrumbs.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he was hinting that the Suns are interested in Sochan, and then he said Brennan was one of his guys he liked. And I think Flex is the ultimate, I'm going to drop some hints at what I might know. And I took both of these as hints that these may be guys the Suns are interested in with the Spurs in a potential signing trade, and that shit scares me.
I love Flex, but I'm tired of licking breadcrumbs. I want the fucking meal already. Give me what I want to know. Give me the whole loaf. Like, stop doing this, Flex. You're pissing me off. Let's go.
That's not how it works.
No, it is how it works.
That's not how it
Your
works.
Sources, just drop it. Let me know.
Then he doesn't
shit.
Have sources anymore. Yeah.
It's a one and done, yeah.
Man, just, hey, in the words of Michael Jordan, fuck them sources. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not excited by any one of those prospects, but of course, now I've basically written it on the that it's going to be true. Like, Sochan is going to be a Phoenix Sun, and I'm not going to watch this team next year.
Look, you're paid to.
I quit.
He's taking the 1 year qualifying offer.
I'm taking the gamble. I'm betting on myself for a year.
I know people are like focusing on Sohan, and based on what I've read, I'm not that intrigued by him. He's been described as kind of this versatile big or whatever, but for me, the Spurs have jumped to the number one team that would be involved in the DA sign and trade, just because they have that flexibility to absorb him on a max contract. They have pieces that could be on the move that could make up a deal. We all saw the DeJounte Murray rumors, and if he's available, like obviously he's not Kevin Durant, but he's like a step below that for me, and a lot, you know, way higher than any of the other options we've discussed to this point. So because that's a guy that can play next to Chris Paul, succeed him down the line, like that's a good piece.
That definitely is the one player so far that I have been the most intrigued by is DeJounte Murray, because he could come in and conceivably be that third scorer. He can create his own shot. He can do a lot of things. But the caveat to this is the one team, besides maybe the Warriors, that you did not want to see KD go or DA go to would be the Spurs, because of all people that might be able to get the most out of DeAndre Ayton, it would be Greg Popovich. Yeah. And if Greg Popovich gets the most out of DA, now, oh my God, that just opens up such a can of worms, because now his own disciple, Monty, couldn't do it. Now I don't trust anything Monty does, and it just crumbles from there.
Let's be honest. At least Greg Popovich is old, so maybe he's not coaching that long to see full success. You know, how would Murray fit in? Would he be the sixth man?
I don't know how he would fit in the short term, and I don't really much care. He's an all-star who is going to be.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You take talent and you figure it out later.
That's how you wind up with Isaiah Thomas, Eric Bledsoe, and Goran Dragic.
No, are you really putting those three in the same category as three possible future Hall of Famers?
I'm saying the simple just take the talent and figure out how to make it work mindset is how you wind up with three guys that play similar positions that are trying to figure out how to get playing time all at the same time.
But it'd only be a short-term thing. You'd have DeJounte Murray under team control. He is 6'4", so he's a point guard, obviously, but you could play him at either guard spot. You could shift Devin Booker to the three. You figure it out for a year or two until Chris Paul is on the downturn. And then you have a core of DeJounte Murray, Devin Booker, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges for the foreseeable future.
Get like excited. Cam Johnson, your starting center.
I'm like, you'd find a mid-level. Come on now. You know that this would be a good deal if you have to do a sign and trade with DA.
But the question is, do you think, because wasn't this supposedly rumored from Atlanta?
Yes. And that's
so that's a question is like, is this actually a potential option? Are they really willing to move on from him, or did Atlanta put it out there as like, hey,
they're trying to boost their, that's probably where it came from. They're trying to boost the trade value of Collins, being like, hey, the Spurs are talking about giving us an all-star for John Collins. What are you guys going to do? So it's possible DeJounte Murray's not even available, but even if he's not, like, the Spurs still have more flexibility. They now have a bevy of rookie players that they can just throw into the deal as sweeteners. You know, we've talked about the possibilities of Jakob Poeltl and Devin Vassell, or Jakob Poeltl and Keldon Johnson as the basis for a trade. Like, it's still very much out there. Jakob Poeltl is underrated, man. People don't know how good Jakob Poeltl is. I'm going to say it. He's not DA. He's not
like a Poeltl guy.
Poeltl is such a great, like, it's such a fun name to say.
But I will say it is a fun
name.
It
is. Yeah. Yes, it's not.
It is. But I will say, like, they're the front runner in my house just based on what everybody else has done. If you're going to do a DA sign and trade, they seem like the most likely candidate.
That's
right now.
That's where I'm starting to feel too, and that makes me sick.
I think we're underrating. They have some nice pieces that
would fit
in
well.
It's
just the thought of helping the Spurs in any way.
Look, I'll say this. I think Greg Popovich is the greatest NBA coach of all time. I also think his time in the NBA is winding down. And I do think even if he got the most more out of DA, it would be in the same similar role that he's had here. And I don't think they have a Chris Paul guy that's going to set DA up for success like he's been set up here. Mm-hmm. That's all I got.
That CP3 DA argument is a little bit, that's it for another day.
Indiana next.
I watched every single one of his field goal misses and makes this season. And guess how many of them were set up by Chris Paul? all a whole shit ton of them. That's all I'm going to say.
Is that an advanced metric? A whole shit ton of them?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. All right, let's talk about Indiana. There were no trades last night, but they did draft Benedict Mathurin and Andrew Nembhard. So what are your thoughts on Indiana?
I don't think they're a player.
You don't?
No.
I mean, you got Miles Turner, and Mathurin could be a part there. There has been interest. I don't know, you're right though. Why would DA want to play in Indiana?
Well, not only that, but like the whole point of this, right, is if you're not going to take in DA, if you're not going to keep DA, then and you're going to sign a trade, who are you getting back from Indiana that is a bona fide help to your organization? Nobody. Not Miles Turner.
That's been shot down that they don't want him because of his foot injury.
Malcolm Brogdon, maybe, yes. But Miles Turner and Benedict Mathurin ain't going to do it. You're not going to wait for Benedict Mathurin to mature in the NBA enough to be able to score at the level you need him to be able to help book until after CP3 would be gone. Right. There's no point.
But we had heard rumors about Brogdon being available for a while now. Drafting Mathurin definitely makes him more available. I know we got that one report that the Suns are not going to be interested in Brogdon, but
report. Basically, looking at all this, we've circled the Spurs.
The Pacers are behind them in my book still. But
I still feel like the Suns are going to end up just matching an offer and D is going to come back.
I think that's the most likely outcome, yeah.
And I think so too, but that still leaves you with a lot of questions that you have to answer on this roster to still be a contender, I think, in the West.
However...
However,
no, not yet. Oh, okay. Han in the chat said, "Need some Four Peaks sipping, or this show didn't happen." What's up, you guys?
I didn't get a beer.
You went too hard last night.
No. Sean, get us some beers.
2 p.m. on a Friday.
I had two whole beers over 5 hours. I tapped out.
Oh my god, he came. Hey. Sean came, and he's wearing beers? A Four Peaks shirt too.
Any kind.
Surprise us. Just Four Peaks. That's what we want.
just four. Three. We don't have anything else but Four Peaks, but yeah.
Well, what kind? Meaning like, you know, do you want some peach? Do you want a hazy?
I am hazy, still, after 5 hours last night.
But here's the deal. We're going to be live at Four Peaks 8th Street Pub all day this upcoming Wednesday, along with the rest of the PHNX crew. So if you guys are in town, you want to come stop by, hang out, grab a few beers, have a meal. We're going to be there, so we encourage you guys to come on out. Wait, can we get this on camera?
I'll take the hop knot.
Oh, okay. I'll take that.
Ah, yes.
Sean over here doing the most.
There you go.
Yes. Thank you, Sean.
There you go.
If you want to come hang out with us next Wednesday.
Do that after you drink. Why would you do that? He opened up and he was like.
The sound, the smell. It's just. Oh.
At the Four Peaks Brewery, please do so. And also, if you are planning on indulging at all this weekend, just remember you have to be 21 or older and enjoy responsibly, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about the Knicks' moves for Kyrie and the possibility of KD.
Okay, so they broke Knicks fans' hearts by drafting Dern and then trading him. Mm-hmm. They've acquired a bunch of first-round picks that may amount to second-round picks based on
protections.
And it's all they traded Kemba to clear cap space, and it's all in hope that the Nets are going to accept a poo-poo platter of those first-round picks and pieces for Kyrie. Is this correct, do you think?
Basically. But, I mean, it's one of two things. It's either Jalen Brunson or it's Kyrie Irving. Like, they're very much in on Jalen Brunson, according to Mark Stein today. But it could also maintain flexibility if Kyrie and the Nets situation goes upside down, like it's pretty much already turning. I think this is good for the Suns in a roundabout way, because as many Kyrie Irving suitors as there are, the more it pushes us closer to a very fun outcome.
It is good unless that decision is the Clippers. Then I think it makes things a hell of a lot tougher, even if that second domino falls and KD winds up in Phoenix at that point, because you look at that Clippers team, and if they can stay healthy, big if, that is a hell of a team if they get Kyrie.
For sure. And they've always been a hell of a team. They've always been a pain in the ass of the Suns. So, yeah. But it doesn't matter, because if we get KD, that will save everything.
Here we go.
There's one guy out there that could turn this franchise completely around. It is this man, the one, the only. I don't know how. There he is. KD, the book of KD.
Yes.
That's right, baby.
I didn't have any music to put on this, so I'll just sing, okay?
He will save us. Listen, Kevin Durant. Listen, buddy. Listen, KD. As you think about where to go, you need to understand there's only one place, and one place only, you could turn the fortunes of a franchise to be completely on your shoulders, and someone that has never won a championship before. You could be the first. You could be the pioneer. You could lead us to the promised land. The book of KD. Please, everybody, read it. It's a fantastic read.
Is that machete so he can get his way out of Brooklyn?
So he can slice down Kyrie's ACL if he goes to the Clippers.
I'm making my demands. I want out, and I have a machete to force it to happen. Oh, man. For those of you that don't know, this is on audio. This is, I believe, the Book of Eli, yes, with Denzel, yes, yes, with Katie's head on it.
Yes. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful Photoshop. We will definitely post this to social, for
he's
sure.
He's burned Brooklyn down on his way to Phoenix.
That's right. That's yeah, exactly
Sergio
what it is.
Sergio says that's Brooklyn behind him.
He dies at the end of that film, but not before he saves humanity.
That's yep. right.
So
that's
give
right.
me my championship. That's all I want, right?
Do we think that Saul has had too many OGs before today's show or not?
Nah. He hasn't had any. You okay. can tell.
Yeah, I haven't had any. I'm saving for tomorrow.
I mean, it was kind of
the
a joke.
Day club. Let's go.
Don't get in the pool with too many.
Oh, no. I will have like 450 milligrams. I'm just kidding. Oh, I'm kidding.
You can put that a horse.
I'm kidding.
You literally just said enjoy responsibly. Saul, that is not responsible.
No, that was for drinking. Not for
the whole wedding cake. What are you doing? Saul ate three bags of OGs.
I tell you what. One time I took 25 in one sitting. Not realizing that a quarter of this cookie that was 100 milligrams was literally 25. I had no idea. My wife just said, hey, I saved you some. I was like, oh, okay. And I ate the whole thing. I think I saw God that night. I'm pretty sure I did.
And he looked a lot like KD, right?
Yeah, he did.
Dressed like Kevin Durant.
He reached out his hand and I was about to grab it. And then I woke up. So I don't know what happened.
That's probably a good thing. I feel like they say in your dreams when you actually that means you're gonna, you know.
He said, I'll see you in 2022 in Phoenix.
But he put the sword away, so I think I was okay.
So OGs, prophetic visions.
And they just launched their first ever limited edition seasonal flavor, Piña Colada, perfect pineapple and creamy coconut blend.
Microdoses.
Just in time.
For the win.
For summer. And you guys, if you want to have fun this weekend, join the PHNX crew and OGs over at Maya Day Club tomorrow, Saturday, June 25th. Say hello, learn more about OGs, have a good time. Or if you're not up for that, you can just check out OGs online at OGsBrands.com or on Instagram at OGsBrands. You can also find their products at your local dispensary, but you have to be 21 or older to purchase.
You can come hang with us. I think Gerald's going.
I should be.
Espo, did you get a hall pass or no?
No, I'm hanging out with my family. I returned from the other side of death last week.
You've been around. Okay. I'm going to be there. Lindsay's bouncing. Shane will be there. Sean will be there. Johnny Venerable will be out there. So we will not be getting him a beer. Yeah. But you can't make fun of them if you're not going to go do these things. So
I love this comment from Sergio. Other people have sources. Saul has visions.
That's right, baby. That's right. And I have visualized KD in a Suns uniform. Let's
visions
go.
Visions tell me.
Yeah. Multiple league visions have told
that?
Me.
Do we need to make this a thing? Oh, yes. I feel yes. like we need to yes.
Kevin Durant
thing.
Has been traded with for DeAndre and the voices in my head say.
Oh, yes. I love this. All right, we're going to round out the show with a little fun on this Friday afternoon with a snake draft. And we are drafting Pixar movies. And Gerald is so flippin' excited.
I am. I've been waiting
on this.
But
he's going third. So the draft order is Lindsay, Espo, Gerald, Saul.
She went third person.
She did.
So these are, it's easier
for clarification, these are limited to only the Disney Pixar movies, not Disney movies.
Not,
so there's only like 26.
Just Pixar.
There's only like 26 of them.
And you don't get to get a whole franchise.
Yes.
It's individual movies only.
Yes.
Okay. Let me get this.
Do I even have the right list there?
This might get heated. Yeah.
So
it was
my
the one that
first
sent.
Pick in the Pixar draft is Coco.
Okay.
Is it in the rundown?
It was.
Just search Pixar films and go to Wikipedia. They're all there.
Yeah, there's like 26 of them.
I got you.
So you took Coco.
So I love Coco. That's a bold choice for number one. I do love that movie.
Coco is one of my all-time favorites. Really, really good. It's such a good movie.
It is really good, but it's not the best, and you left it for me. Mm-hmm. It's the OG. I'm taking Toy Story number one.
It's a good pick. Good pick.
Cool.
All right.
Toy Story 1?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Finding Nemo here.
That's a good one. I like Finding Nemo.
It's a classic, one of the OGs. Pretty high up on the list.
All right. So I have back to back, huh?
Yep.
I'm going to go with WALL-E.
It's mm-hmm. a good pick.
And I'm going to go with The Incredibles.
Okay. Good pick.
Didn't you just talk crap about WALL-E?
Don't mind what I'm doing. I'm trying to win a game. I'm trying to win a fucking game.
That didn't work for you last game. Time when you
That's all right. Wow. Fast. That's all right.
I see how it is. All right, Gerald, what you got?
I'm very excited. I'm going to go with, oh man, this is tough because both of these are really good picks here. I'm going to go with Up.
Ooh, yeah, that was going to be my.
Good.
Yeah.
Good
choice. I was hoping I was going to get that on the comeback.
Good choice.
I'm going to end up losing.
Up at
draft.
Number six is like Damian Lillard of the draft.
Oh.
He was drafted six, wasn't he?
I'm going to go Monsters, Inc.
I personally
love that one. There's
That's what I was torn.
Yeah. That's such a solid. It's got the humor for the parents, too.
Now I don't know what to pick.
Yeah, Monsters, Inc.
Doggone it, Espo.
can I take Coco five times, guys?
You took one of Lindsay's six options on her James Jones draft board.
You did.
Well, I'm just going
to... I give him so much grief because I do the same thing and it rarely works out in my favor. So I'm speaking from experience.
I'm going to select things that are Pixar related. How about that?
I'm going to choose Cowboys, Little Bo Peep.
I'm taking Shrek.
He's green like Mike Wazowski. Yeah.
Whatever, you guys. You're just haters because you don't know how to think outside of the box.
Uh-huh.
All right. I'm going to go... Doggone it. I'm going to go Ratatouille, I think.
Okay. That's a good pick.
Yeah, anytime you can have rats near food, that's what you want to go with. So.
You got back-to-back picks.
Oh, shoot. I have to do two?
That's the way this works.
Darn.
That's not how you spell Ratatouille.
Did I spell it wrong? Ratatouille.
Hey guys, nobody can see it, so shut your mouth.
He's looking it up now.
Said, stop putting my business out in the world. I think I'm going to go Turning Red.
Okay. It's a bold pick this early.
I'm going to go.
It's a good movie, though.
I'm going to go something in a similar vein as Turning Red, but I'm going to go with Inside Out.
Okay.
The
anger character.
The anger character is totally my spirit animal. Where his head just shoots flames out.
I was literally one letter off, so you guys can shut up.
All right. Wait, so what was Lindsay's?
Lindsay's
Turning Red, and then yours was Inside Out.
Inside Out, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go. I have to get one from the franchise before we run out, so I'm going to go Toy Story 3.
Damn you, Gerald.
What did you take?
Damn it.
Toy Story 3.
Yeah, I thought about it, but I didn't want to go heavy on Toy Story. Mm-hmm.
You got to have a variety.
Inside Out. Toy Story 3, as they're going down that conveyor belt, I don't think I have ever cried like that in a movie. You're like, this can't really be how this ends. This can't be how this franchise of movies is literally just cast aside in the trash. It can't end like that.
That was probably typical Americans. We're all getting heartfelt over some pieces of plastic going to
their
game.
We don't care about anything else, but we care about our Pixar movies.
Not my toys. All
right. I got back-to-back picks now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is going to be tough, man.
Yeah.
It is. This is because there's not a ton of them, so it gets really hard at the end.
It's going to come down to these last few picks.
Yeah, it is. okay, for my first one, I'm going to go Soul.
Okay.
That's a good movie.
Good call. Great soundtrack. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go with a classic, and this might be a little controversial.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Cars.
Okay.
No, I think that's a solid pick in fourth round.
Yeah, that's a good fourth round pick.
Dang, we're doing five, aren't
Definitely
we?
The weakest of the the franchises as far as like the whole 1 through 3, but yeah. The first Cars is still very good.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they just got progressively worse as they went.
Yes.
Okay, fourth round now. I'm going to go ahead and go with A Bug's Life, one of the
OGs. That's what I was going to take.
Damn it.
Way back in the
day. Dude, we're going to get to 5, and I'm going to be like, I haven't seen this movie, but it's the only one left, yeah. So I guess I'll take that.
We are definitely running low here.
I think I can get this one on the comeback. I am going to go with Brave. I really like that movie. One, especially with a daughter that really hits home with me. So I'm going to go Brave.
Dude, I don't even know what to pick right now. I'm trying to even see what's available. So I think I'll go with, because I have to do 2, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do Finding Dory.
Okay.
I still think it was a cute movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've seen any of the other ones. What's Luca?
Luca's the Italian one. It's great.
It's about the Slovenian basketball player that got drafted over a big man.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Just pick one.
It's popular Luca everywhere but
Onward?
Here.
Take Luca? All right. I'm taking Luca.
Okay. All right, Espo.
Oh. Where do I go? Where do I go? Two I'm looking at here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel like one's pandering and one might actually.
The intensity of this draft.
It's great for the audio.
I'm going to go Incredibles 2.
Okay.
Oh, man. You guys, I even left this one on the board because I wanted a little more variety here.
There's two that I'm like, okay.
You're giving me an opportunity. You're giving me an opening. So, oh, man. For variety's sake, it's not great, but I'm going Toy Story 2 for a last round pick. That's pretty good value.
I can't remember which ones are which.
I was gonna take that, but again, I can't.
You already
I just
have
don't
Toy
feel
Story.
Like I can go 2 Toy Stories here. By the way, Encanto, not a Pixar movie. It was a Disney great animation.
Same with Lion King and Aladdin and Moana. Yeah, those are all Disney.
We're and just... Hotel Transylvania ain't even in the same family.
Yeah.
Also
well,
fun, though.
I was hoping that this one would stay, and it did, so I'm going to take Onward to wrap it all up.
There you go.
I was going...
That's an underrated movie.
I thought about that, but it was one of those that never made it into theaters. It kind of got buried on Disney+. I'm not sure that the populace saw it.
So. Yeah.
It wasn't very funny, but it really tugs at the heartstrings. It was good.
I'm going to have to watch it, because I haven't seen Onward or Luca.
Oh,
Luca's pretty solid.
Josh, I'm surprised Totri didn't take Soul.
Oh my God.
Totri out here catching strays.
That is hilarious.
Oh, I think this is, I feel like this is a 3-team race between me, Saul, and Gerald. I'm sorry.
But you guys just picked the top 2?
That
goodness.
I'm sorry.
That was so messed up.
I mean, yeah, talk about catching strays.
Damn.
That's 4 co-hosts and name 3.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
Lord have mercy.
That is tough.
All right. So basically, I got Coco, Ratatouille, Turning Red, Finding Dory, and Luca. Espo has Toy Story 1, Monsters, Inc., Inside Out, Brave, and Incredibles 2. Gerald has Finding Nemo, Up, Toy Story 3, Bug's Life, Toy Story 2. Saul has Wall-E, Incredibles, Soul, Cars, and Onward.
This is going to be an interesting poll. I'm excited to see the results.
My biggest thing is, like I said, this is Gerald's baby.
How about this?
So if Gerald loses, he's going to literally have a heart attack.
I just suggested the idea.
How about...
Yeah, but you want it. You want
how
it.
Excited. How about we do this? How about whoever wins the previous week's poll gets to pick what the next poll is all about?
Okay.
I think like that's a good idea. Forward.
There we go.
We're still doing the I will. We're still doing the Sprite and Tortilla challenge next week.
But we got to do it before Saul goes on vacation.
When is that?
Wednesday. Well, Thursday officially.
Okay, how about this? Since we're going to be at Four Peaks on Wednesday, why don't we do a tortilla challenge then? And what we'll do...
because we haven't spilled enough liquid all over Four Peaks already.
We can do it outside.
No, we have not.
You did. We've got photographic proof.
How about
your
this? Because the tortilla challenge, it's like rock, paper, scissors, and whoever wins gets to be the one who slaps people. Mm-hmm. How about... whoever wins this draft gets to do the first slap, and then we can go like rotating.
Okay.
So basically, like if I win, I will slap whoever I want first. Then say Saul goes next, then it's me, then it's Espo, then it's me, then it's Gerald, then it's me. So whoever wins basically gets to slap everybody.
I don't really want to slap anybody, to be honest with you.
That is the most Gerald thing ever.
Everybody.
Saul and I are just going to be beating the shit out of each other with tortillas.
Can we just let you two go?
I don't even want to slap anybody. I want to surprise slap somebody. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to catch you when you least expect it. That's what I want.
You just sneak up in your house and just go, pop, while you're sleeping. Yeah, yeah.
The funniest ones that you've seen on TikTok is, like, people just, like, they're just sitting there and they're all ready for it. And all of a sudden, wow! Like,
I love
that's the best part.
I love that we come out, you know, we're slowly emerging from a pandemic. And the first big, like, viral thing is people spitting water at each other.
That's fast. Oh, my gosh. All right. It's time to go home. Thank you guys for joining us. As a reminder, if you are going to be out and about this weekend or this summer, we want you to stay safe and healthy. So COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov/findvaccine for a location near you. We appreciate you guys, as always, for tuning in. We'll see you on Monday at 2 p.m.
See you at the club.
Unless you're going out with the gang on Saturday. So until then, you can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. You can follow Gerald at Gerald4Gay. And, of course, you can follow Espo at Espo. Espo, take us home.
Remember, we have more in common than we do that's not in common. Hate breeds hate. Division, hey yo, my division. Lifestyle is retro. Let's find some single discourse in this world. Control, oh, you are never going to let go. PHNX, though. Lindsay, Gerald, Espo. Saw past the ball. We here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me. Y'all always wreck the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G. No plan B. Always on the job. My team move like the mob. Turn the beat on. I throw it down like DA on the lob. Best combo since KJ, Marley, and Charles. If you squat, just sitting on the chat. Get it-